Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Health Report and Explorations, coming up after As It Is.
Hello and welcome back to the program that helps you to learn and improve your American English. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with a special program. Last week, China accused journalist and human rights activist Gao Yu of leaking state secrets. Some activists say China is using its laws to punish individuals who say things critical of the government. Today, we tell about the charges against the activist. We also report on rising tensions between China and Vietnam. Thousands of Vietnamese workers have taken part in anti-China protests this week. They oppose China's decision to deploy an oil rig platform to disputed waters in the South China Sea. The case against a Chinese activist and tensions between China and Vietnam. Those are our subjects today on As It Is. Let's get straight to the Gao Yu story. Mario Ritter joins us with details.
Chinese officials have charged journalist and human rights activist Gao Yu with leaking state secrets. Observers say she was arrested because Chinese officials do not like her comments about Chinese politics. They say officials are also unhappy about her activism in support of victims of the Tiananmen Square attacks. On June 4, 1989, the government ordered troops to shoot protesters who had gathered in the square. Since then, Chinese officials have taken steps to suppress efforts to mark the anniversary of the attacks. Earlier this month, Ms. Gao failed to appear at a meeting about the killings in Tiananmen Square. She had been expected to attend. About 15 people were present at the meeting. Police later arrested at least 5 of them. Other attendees have since been kept under house arrest. Soon after the meeting, Chinese state television reported Gao Yu had been charged with divulging state secrets. It showed images of her admitting to the charges. Amnesty International denounced the charges against Gao Yu. Amnesty called them a smokescreen to target activists. The group suggested that she admitted to the charges to protect her son. He disappeared on the same day she did. State media say the journalist gave secret documents to foreign publications. But officials did not say what was contained in the documents or which publications received them. Some observers have said the leak could be linked to a Communist Party policy paper called Document No. 9. They say she wrote about the document last year. Foreign reporters who saw the paper say it warned party officials to reject Western political values such as democracy, free media, and civil society. Wen Yunqiao is a Chinese blogger and activist. He says officials might use the document to punish her reporting of political struggles in China.
After the document was published, Gao Yu continued to write columns and released interviews to reveal inner struggles within China's power groups. I think that is what really enraged those in power.
China has 7 kinds of state secrets. They include information about major policy decisions, science and technology, and military operations. Critics say the classifications are very general and give officials too much power to decide what information is a state secret. Last week, a migrant worker in southern China was given a 10-year prison sentence for selling military information. Reports say the man had bought secret military publications and had given pictures and other information to a foreigner. It is not known how he could have been able to get information said to be secret. Maya Wong is a researcher with the group Human Rights in China. She works in Hong Kong.
These cases bring out a lot of questions about China's state secrets law and the fact that state secrets law have often been misused and abused to prevent people from distributing and talking about publicly available information.
Ai Xiaoming is an independent filmmaker and an activist. She says the measures used by the government against activists this year show China's new leadership plans to end public criticism of the government.
It is a way for them to tune their domestic policies. They believe that they need to use these extremely intense methods to block any view that is different.
Tension is rising in Vietnam because of the country's dispute with China over a Chinese oil drilling platform. China has set up the machine in disputed waters in the South China Sea. Vietnamese media say the deployment has led to protests across the country. Reporter Marianne Brown is in Vietnam's capital, Hanoi, and Bob Doty has her story.
Local newspapers say thousands of workers took part in the protests. The demonstrators work at Hong Kong and Taiwanese factories in South Vietnam. They called for China to remove the oil rig from Vietnamese waters. The newspapers say a hotel at one seaside town refused Chinese travelers. They reported that some Vietnamese are canceling plans to visit China. Last weekend, hundreds of people demonstrated near the Chinese embassy in Hanoi. Similar protests were reported across Vietnam. State-controlled media usually provide only a small number of reports about Vietnamese relations with China. But there have been extensive reports on the dispute and the protests this week. David Brown is a Vietnam expert and a former American diplomat. He says the first reports about the oil rig incident seemed more restrained, but then quickly changed. The Vietnamese Communist Party has long noted the economic and political importance of what it calls the East Sea. The sea is believed to be rich in oil and natural gas. China's state-owned oil rig, HD981, was deployed to an area called Block 143. But that area is not being developed. Carl Thayer is with the Australian Defense Force Academy. He says that among oil industry officials, the area is not considered especially promising.
Block 143 is not being developed. As simple as that. Vietnam has made no real effort to do so. So in other words, they don't consider it, they're just arguing to maintain their exclusive economic zone. And if you go to the next block, there's operations going there. And ExxonMobil is a couple fields away.
Carl Thayer says the main issue is control of the area, not economic gain. This was the message repeated on local Vietnamese media last week. That message tied in with the government's policy of seeking international support to stop China and avoid military action. Prime Minister Nguyen Tan Dung released a statement at a meeting of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. In his words, the extremely dangerous situation has been and is directly threatening peace, stability, and maritime security and safety in the East Sea. However, China's foreign ministry this week denied that the South China Sea is a problem between China and ASEAN members. Hua Chunying is a foreign ministry official. She says China has an agreement with ASEAN countries on guaranteeing safety in the area. I'm Bob Doty.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. And this is VOA.
The Health Report is next, followed by Explorations. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health Report. Raise your hand if this story sounds familiar. A man enters a store to buy milk. He walks out of the store with milk. That is all, milk. At the same time, a woman enters the same grocery store, also to buy milk. She buys it, but she also buys chicken and lemons to make dinner that night. Then she remembers to buy food for her son to eat at school. She also gets a bottle of wine for drinks with friends and a birthday card for her husband's niece. Then she gets coffee for breakfast, ice cream for dessert, and remembers stamps to mail the bills. And don't forget soap for the bathroom. And that is the difference between the female and male brains, simply explained in a grocery store. Generally speaking, men do one thing at a time. Women do many. Doing many things at one time is often called multitasking, a very popular word these days. Now, scientific research supports this theory about male and female brains. A recent study has confirmed what we have known all along. Men and women think differently. Scientists at the University of Pennsylvania studied brain images of 949 people, aged from 8 to 22 years old. They found that male brains have more connections on one side of the brain, or hemisphere. In the female brain, they found more activity and connections between the right and left sides of the brain. The left side of the brain is known as the side of reason. The right hemisphere is known as the creative side. Regina Verma is a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. She co-wrote the report. She says when women are asked to do something difficult, they might use different parts of the brain. Men, she adds, generally use just one side of the brain. As a result, men generally deal directly with a problem. There is a strong connection between the understanding and the action parts of their brains. Women, however, might include other parts of the brain, like the part connected with reason and the part connected with sensitivity when solving a problem. Women take a less direct path to find a solution. Dr. Verma warns that the study should not lead anyone to expect some behaviors from women and others from men. And that's the Health Report from VOA Learning English. I'm Anna Mateo.
Thank you. This is Shirley Griffith.
And this is Steve Emper with the VOA Special English Program, Explorations. Today, we tell about one of the world's greatest scientists, Isaac Newton.
Much of today's science of physics is based on Newton's discovery of the three laws of motion and his theory of gravity. Newton also developed one of the most powerful tools of mathematics. It is the method we call calculus. Late in his life, Newton said of his work, "If I saw further than other men, it was because I stood on the shoulders of giants."
One of those giants was the great Italian scientist Galileo. Galileo died the same year Newton was born. Another of the giants was the Polish scientist Nicholas Copernicus. He lived 100 years before Newton. Copernicus had begun a scientific revolution. It led to a completely new understanding of how the universe worked. Galileo continued and expanded the work of Copernicus. Isaac Newton built on the ideas of these two scientists and others. He found and proved the answers for which they searched.
Isaac Newton was born in Woolsthorpe, England, on December 25th, 1642. He was born early. He was a small baby and very weak. No one expected him to survive, but he surprised everyone. He had one of the most powerful minds in history, and he lived until he was 84. Newton's father died before he was born. His mother married again a few years later. She left Isaac with his grandmother. The boy was not a good student, yet he liked to make things, such as kites and clocks and simple machines.
Newton also enjoyed finding new ways to answer questions or solve problems. As a boy, for example, he decided to find a way to measure the speed of the wind. On a windy day, he measured how far he could jump with the wind at his back. Then he measured how far he could jump with the wind in his face. From the difference between the two jumps, he made his own measure of the strength of the wind. Strangely, Newton became a much better student after a boy kicked him in the stomach. The boy was one of the best students in the school. Newton decided to get even by getting higher marks than the boy who kicked him. In a short time, Newton became the top student at the school.
Newton left school to help on the family farm. It soon became clear, however, that the boy was not a good farmer. He spent his time solving mathematical problems instead of taking care of the crops. He spent hours visiting a bookstore in town instead of selling his vegetables in the market. An uncle decided that Newton would do better as a student than as a farmer. So he helped the young man enter Cambridge University to study mathematics. Newton completed his university studies 5 years later in 1665. He was 22 years old.
At that time, a deadly plague was spreading across England. To escape the disease, Newton returned to the family farm. He did more thinking than farming. In doing so, he found the answers to some of the greatest mysteries of science. Newton used his great skill in mathematics to form a better understanding of the world and the universe. He used methods he had learned as a boy in making things. He experimented. Then he studied the results and used what he had learned to design new experiments. Newton's work led him to create a new method in mathematics for measuring areas curved in shape. He also used it to find how much material was contained in solid objects. The method he created became known as integral calculus.
One day, sitting in the garden, Newton watched an apple fall from a tree. He began to wonder if the same force that pulled the apple down also kept the moon circling the earth. Newton believed it was, and he believed it could be measured. He called the force gravity. He began to examine it carefully. He decided that the strength of the force keeping a planet in orbit around the sun depended on two things. One was the amount of mass in the planet and the sun. The other was how far apart they were.
Newton was able to find the exact relationship between distance and gravity. He multiplied the mass of one space object by the mass of the other. Then he divided that number by the square of their distance apart. The result was the strength of the gravity force that tied them to each other. Newton proved his idea by measuring how much gravity force would be needed to keep the moon orbiting the Earth. Then he measured the mass of the Earth and the moon and the distance between them. He found that his measurement of the gravity force produced was not the same as the force needed. But the numbers were close. Newton did not tell anyone about his discovery. He put it aside to work on other ideas. Later, with correct measurements of the size of the Earth, he found that the numbers were exactly the same.
Newton spent time studying light and colors. He used a three-sided piece of glass called a prism. He sent a beam of sunlight through the prism. It fell on a white surface. The prism separated the beam of sunlight into the colors of a rainbow. Newton believed that all these colors, mixed together in light, produced the color white. He proved this by letting the beam of rainbow-colored light pass through another prism. This changed the colored light back to white light.
Newton's study of light led him to learn why faraway objects seen through a telescope do not seem sharp and clear. The curved glass lenses at each end of the telescope acted like prisms. They produced a circle of colored light around an object. This created an unclear picture. A few years later, Newton built a different kind of telescope. It used a curved mirror to make faraway objects seem larger. Light reflected from the surface of the mirror instead of passing through a curved glass lens. Newton's reflecting telescope produced much clearer pictures than the old kind of telescope.
Years later, the British astronomer Edmund Halley visited Newton. He said he wanted Newton's help in finding an answer to a problem no one had been able to solve. The question was this: what is the path of a planet going around the sun? Newton immediately gave Halley the answer: an egg-shaped path called an ellipse. Halley was surprised. He asked for Newton's proof. Newton no longer had the papers from his earlier work. He was able to recreate them, however. He showed them to Halley. He also showed Halley all his other scientific work.
Halley said Newton's scientific discoveries were the greatest ever made. He urged Newton to share them with the world. Newton began to write a book that explained what he had done. It was published in 1687. Newton called his book The Mathematical Principles of Natural Philosophy. The book is considered the greatest scientific work ever written.
In his book, Newton explains the three natural laws of motion. The first law is that an object not moving remains still, and one that is moving continues to move at an unchanging speed, so long as no outside force influences it. Objects in space continue to move because nothing exists in space to stop them. Newton's second law of motion describes force. It says force equals the mass of an object multiplied by the change in speed it produces in an object. His third law says that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction.
From these three laws, Newton was able to show how the universe worked. He proved it with easily understood mathematics. Scientists everywhere accepted Newton's ideas. The leading English poet of Newton's time, Alexander Pope, honored the scientist with these words: "Nature and nature's laws lay hid in night. God said, 'Let Newton be,' and all was light."
This special English program was written by Marilyn Cristiano and Frank Beardsley. This is Shirley Griffith.
And this is Steve Ember. Listen again next week for another Explorations program on The Voice of America.